Heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more, or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. We'll go to our callers. First up today, Tricia, listening in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Tricia.
Hi, Hank. How are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Good, good. I have a question about the church. I go to a non-denominational. I've been there about 4 years, and I do like my church, but they never discuss the cross. And I'm wondering if it's something that I should be so concerned about that I change churches, or if I should study that on my own and hang with them. So I'm just kind of confused as to what to do about this.
Well, I probably need further information, but remember the cross stands on the apex of the Christian worldview. And as a Christian, you're called to daily take up your cross and follow Him. So the cross is central to a biblical worldview. It is central to the Christian. It is central to the local church. And therefore, if it is obscured, you are in some sense obscuring the face of Christianity. And therefore, just based on the soundbite that you gave me, I would say, yes, that sounds like a red flag. Maybe if I had further information, I would see some kind of qualification that would make this less of a red flag. But certainly, if the cross of Christ is obscured in the preaching and practice of a church, then you don't really have a church that is a church indeed.
Right, exactly. And to me, the cross is the basis of Christianity. And it, like I said, it just really concerns me. So I do appreciate your answer, and I think I'm going to look for a new church.
Bless you, Tricia. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gary next in Arkansas. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Mr. Hanegraaff. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
My question is, what would your opinion be on the New Living Translation of the Bible?
Well, you know, the New Living Translation is certainly very, very helpful, but I think that we have to recognize it for what it is. It is, in some sense, a translation, but perhaps better articulated as a paraphrase. I know that there'd be a lot of disagreement on what I'm saying right here, but from my perspective, from time to time, as you go through this translation, you find that the language goes beyond the range of meanings that are allowable for a word, a phrase, or a compilation of phrases. And so while I think it's very, very helpful, I think that you should also use other translations to enhance your study of the Word of God.
Okay, that's good. My father, I'm trying to help encourage him to come to Christ, and I was wanting to get him a Bible, and I thought it might be an easier one to understand, but I did not want to get something that would be misleading. I've got one myself, and I've noticed, as you said, sometimes they, you know, seem to exaggerate a few things, but I just wanted to make sure I wasn't getting something that would be totally misleading.
No, I don't think it'd be misleading. I think it can be extraordinarily helpful.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate it, and I've ordered your Bible Answer book, and I am looking very forward to receiving it and starting to read it.
Thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
And back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Seth in Mississippi. Hi, Seth.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Hey, I have a question. I attended a church my whole life that believed in the speaking of tongues, and the problem is I've always been encountered with that the church says that the evidence of the being filled with the Holy Spirit is speaking in tongues. I've never personally spoken in tongues, and I have a hard time talking to other people about speaking in tongues and its practical day application, because it seems like the denomination kind of qualifies speaking in tongues as evidence of being filled with the Holy Spirit. I just want to know your views on that.
Yeah, I think to say that tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit goes beyond what the biblical text says. I think that you could certainly make a case for saying it is a evidence, but to say it is the evidence, absolutely not. And I think you also need to make a distinction between indwelling and infilling. When you are a believer, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But as an indwelt believer, you can also talk about being infilled. And that is a way of talking about being daily empowered for service so that you can be an effective witness. In fact, that's what you see at Pentecost when the disciples are infilled. They go out and they witness in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So I think that, again, tongues, if someone is to say tongues are normative today, I think they're also mistaken. But if someone is saying that, then you have to follow the biblical prescription given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. If a tongue is spoken, there has to be an interpretation of that tongue. If there's an interpretation, then that interpretive tongue or the interpretation of the tongue becomes an equivalent to prophecy and serves to edify, exhort, encourage, and equip the body of Christ. But I personally would argue that tongues are not normative, that they served a purpose at a particular time. I would not rule out the fact that God could give someone the gift of speaking in other languages or speaking with another tongue, but I don't think that's normative today.
Would you say that, so speaking in tongues without an interpretation, I guess that wouldn't be something that was inspired by God?
Well, if you do it publicly, it is directly against the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 14 makes clear that if someone is speaking in a tongue, there has to be an interpretation.
Okay. Okay. Well, I appreciate the help.
You got it. Thank you so much for your call. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Paul. He's listening in Denver, Colorado. Hi, Paul.
Yes, Hank. I have a few questions here. My first question, was God controlling those planes on 9/11?
Well, I think you have to start with this premise. We live in a fallen world, and as a result of that, bad things happen. The righteous and the unrighteous suffer. That's the case for all humanity. And even in a Christian worldview, we don't have some kind of a panacea. The best that Christianity offers us is peace in the midst of the storm, and then further, the promise of resurrection, a time in which there'll be no more death, mourning, crying, or pain. But sin has entered the world, and as a result, there is death, mourning, crying, or pain. You have Satan, you have the world, you have the flesh, all conspiring so that bad things happen to people during their sojourn on earth. That is going to be the case until Jesus appears a second time. The wheat and the tares are going to grow up together. The harvest will be in eternity. The tares will be thrown into everlasting destruction. The wheat will be gathered into the storehouse of God, a way of saying the wheat will forever abide with Jesus Christ in a renewed paradise in which there's no more death, mourning, crying, or pain.
Okay, well, I think it's incredibly misleading when Christians say that God is in control. I think what the Scriptures actually say is that God is in authority, which is far different from being in control. God does not control every person on this planet. Far from it.
Well, I think what you need to keep in balance when you think about these things is the justice of God, the sovereignty of God, and genuine human culpability. There is the reality that human beings are doing bad things because they have the ability to act or to act otherwise. It is also true that God is sovereign, that nothing happens to you, not a hair falls from your head, that God doesn't know about it and care about it. But your actions make a difference, and you have the opportunity to make choices every single day. So God could right now, in his sovereign, omnipotent will, he could eradicate all evil from the world. But if he did, he would eradicate you and me in the process, because all of us are tinged with evil. The great apostle Paul, an exemplar who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, said, "Oh, what a wretch I am, who can save me from this body of death?" So God could, but God has designed it such that the wheat and tares, as I said earlier, will grow up together until that time that God puts all things to right, and he has designed that time to be not now, but in the future.
Okay, thank you.
You got it. Appreciate your call. And I've written about the problem of evil in various places, and certainly have addressed that in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition. It's an absolutely beautiful, exquisite book. You can order in a safe, secure fashion on the web by simply going to equip.org. You can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Be right back with more answers.
Pastor Martin Niemöller spent the last 7 years of Nazi rule in concentration camps. Reflecting on the camps where millions would die, Niemöller said, "First, they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionist, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade unionist. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me." To ensure that your voice is heard and that someone is speaking for you, become a member today of CRI's support team. Simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at equip.org. Don't tune out. Hank will be back after the break. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do. Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition is the comprehensive collection of the most often asked questions Hank Hanegraaff has received throughout his four decades as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. With more than 500,000 copies already in print, this newly revised and expanded Collector's Edition helps seekers and skeptics alike sort through the truth on topics such as reliability of the Bible, religions and cults, the resurrection and afterlife, and many more issues vital to a better understanding of God in Christ and our relationship to Him. To receive your copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Expanded, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making, and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence.
Order Has God Spoken from the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org, equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Let's go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Georgia, listening in St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Georgia.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. I just had a question. I just wanted to know what you thought of the teaching for Kenneth Copeland.
Well, Kenneth Copeland is a false prophet. Not only does he espouse concepts that are common to cultists, but he often throws around reckless remarks that make even the deviant doctrine of the cult seem tame by comparison. Let me give you a couple of examples of that. Consider for a moment the striking similarity between Copeland's assertion that Adam in the Garden of Eden was God manifested in the flesh and Mormon prophet Brigham Young's teaching that Adam is our father and our God. Or compare Copeland's teaching that God is 6 feet 2 inches to 6 feet 3 inches tall, weighs around 200 pounds, and has a hand span of about 9 inches with Mormon founder Joseph Smith's statement that if you were to see God today, you would see him like a man in form, like ourselves in all the person, image, and very form as a man. Now, if that doesn't shock you, consider Copeland's claim that Adam was an exact duplicate of God and not even subordinate to him, his words, not mine. And the parallels between that and Joseph Smith's statement that God himself was once as we are now and is an exalted man. Not only does Copeland teach that Adam and God were exact duplicates, but he is also perpetuating the myth that Earth is an exact replica of the mother planet on which God lives. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. Copeland blatantly pronounces God to be the greatest failure of all time. He boldly pontificates that Satan conquered Jesus on the cross, and he brashly proclaims that Christ went to hell as an emaciated, poured-out, little, wormy spirit. Now, if you want to see the validity of what I'm saying, because this may shock many of you, you can look at all the detail and documentation in my book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, and see that I'm not taking him out of context, but I am communicating what he boldly defends. In fact, he denigrates preachers that don't hold to what he holds to. And of course, if you say this, you're called a hater. But the reality is, he denigrates and mocks preachers that do not agree with his unbiblical theology. And I'm telling you, the more you listen to this guy, and it's amazing that he has such a huge platform in evangelical circles, the more you listen to this guy, the worse it gets. It is absolutely scary that he is lauded and promoted within evangelical circles. Here's an example where Copeland was about to preach, but he felt like he was dying. He felt like his spirit was about to leave his body, and yet God was telling him this.
He said, "You weren't dying." I said, "What do you mean I wasn't dying? My spirit was coming out of my body." He said, "That's right. You were fixing." He said, "You were just about to come out of your body, and I was going to allow you to minister to that congregation without your body. You were going to go through that congregation like a whirlwind of the power and the glory of God." I said, you let's show me that in the scripture. He said, and he showed me 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. The Apostle Paul said, I carry around with me the dying in my body for you, that the life of God might be manifest in my mortal flesh. He said, the one that raised Jesus from the dead is in me, and he will make alive your mortal body. He said, you missed that opportunity for that experience. I said, what was I going to do? He said, I'm not going to tell you. You missed it. Can I have a second chance? He said, you walk with me. I'm going to teach you and train you about the glory.
So here you have Copeland and God having a conversation. Copeland not even believing what God is telling him, challenging God. This man has no concept of who God is. Not only does he speak brashly about God, not only does he completely prostitute the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his passion on the cross, but this man has no fear of God. And again, there are all kinds of pastors like this, from Copeland to T.D. Jakes to Benny Hinn, who are increasingly receiving large platforms in evangelical Christianity. And if you say something about it, then you are yourself called into question. But if we love the flock, we're going to communicate the truth. These people are making merchandise of God's people. And having these people in your pulpit is an affront to the gospel. And of course, people have the Copelands and the Jakes and so forth in their pulpit because this is populist currency. What happens as a result of it is your fame spreads. But we're not here to spread the fame of preachers. We are here to spread the fame of Christ. It's not about our populist currency. It's about the kingdom. And that is why many of God's dear saints labor in obscurity, because it's not about their kingdom. It's about his kingdom. It's why you find such a great contrast in Jeremiah between a weeping prophet and the prophets that told people precisely what they wanted to hear. The Lord Jesus Christ likewise disdained the false prophets. He was unequivocal in naming them slimy snakes, sepulchers full of dead men's bones. It's time that we had the backbone to warn the people of God against teachers like Kenneth Copeland. You pay a huge price for it, I can tell you that personally. But it must be done for the sake of the kingdom. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Jerry in North Carolina, listening on the web. Hi, Jerry.
Yeah. My brother, his father-in-law he's a preacher, and he's a full preterist. And he is really influencing my brother right now. And I just wanted to, I know a lot of the dangers of full preterists, and I just wanted to get your opinion about it.
Well, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. It's heretical. I mean, according to full preterism, the resurrection has already happened. It is a complete misreading of the scriptures. And the notion that Jesus Christ is going to appear a second time, as clearly delineated in the book of Hebrews. So full preterism is a heretical movement and deserves to be spoken out against because it is sweeping through the land, capturing a lot of people with its heretical notion that all things in the Bible have already been fulfilled, including the second coming and the resurrection. So it has no place whatsoever in orthodoxy. It is something that we should speak out against.
Yes, sir. I just wanted the warning because my brother is, it seems like he's turning a complete 180 about things. You know, he used to be dispensational, and I don't agree with dispensationalism, but it seems that the full preterism is just as dangerous.
Well, I think it's more dangerous. Dispensationalism is acceptable within the pale of orthodoxy. Now, I strongly disagree with dispensationalism, but I can stand shoulder to shoulder with dispensationalists as brothers and sisters in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But full preterism crosses the line from orthodoxy into heresy. And therefore, it is like leaping out of the frying pan into the proverbial fire. And this is what you're describing in the case of your relative here. And I think it is worthy of a warning. And I'm glad that you are studying to show yourself approved, a workman that need not blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth. As we close the broadcast today, I do remember this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. We need your support. As you can hear from the broadcast today, I'm not trying to be politically correct. If I was, it would lead to prosperity for the ministry. But telling it like it is always bears a cost. And we ask you to stand with us and bear that cost with us to make a difference while there's yet time.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Anyone who's been paying attention knows there's a war going on, not just on traditional morality, civility, and decency, but even more fundamentally on historic notions of truth. And the enemy isn't just the onslaught of fake news facilitated by a post-truth culture and turbocharged by growing legions of ideological spin doctors. No, the real enemies of truth range from postmodernist convictions that there is no objective truth to militant scientism that claims that only science can determine truth, and religion is little more than primitive superstitions. But CRI support team members are not waving a white flag of surrender. They're holding the fort by undergirding every one of Christian Research Institute's mind-shaping and life-changing outreaches 24/7. To learn how you can make a difference and enjoy all the benefits of support team membership, simply visit equip.org.